17 and have been listening to AC/DC since they first appeared on the Australian television music show Countdown, with then lead singer Bon Scott snarling aggressive and often seductive poetry straight into the camera. To understand what they meant to Australian kids of that era, especially those of the working class, you have to appreciate the threat their music presented to parents and the middle class. Kids who were into AC/DC then were really considered a threat to society. Pumped up on their music, they might become violent at any time. So the myth of the suburbs went. Maybe you had to be there. My musical life ranged between extremes. Mum taught classical piano, and I listened to Beethoven and Bach at home. My family had moved to the coastal, rural, Western Australian town of Geraldton by the late 70s. And it was there I first heard 1979's the menacing and death-affirming Highway to Hell. Not long after this, the lead singer Bon Scott died after choking on his own vomit, paralytic drunk in a car in London. It seemed AC/DC were finished. But then they rose again. When we heard an album entitled Back in Black was coming out, we assumed it was an elegy to Scott. I've been writing poetry for years, and to me, Rothrock and Scott went hand in hand. We were most sceptical about someone replacing Bon Scott as both frontman and lyricist. Yet Johnson didn't alter AC/DC, he added to it, and Back in Black became all Scott had been and more. It's an album of power, asserting class values and the rights of music to invigorate attitudes some might not find so palatable. It's sexist and it's selfish, but it's also self-ironizing. Many of the girls I knew at school felt threatened by boys who listened to Back in Black, and yet those same girls, years later, often with university degrees and good incomes, are singing You Shook Me All Night Long as an anthem to love and desire, a rollicking sex ride. The grand irony is that as feminism has thankfully given women more social rights and confidence, the ability to claim a song celebrating female sexual prowess and attraction has hopefully gone hand in hand with rights in the bedroom. Time has taken this album as much into women's hands as men. Back in Black is about their power and strength. This has become clearer over the years. The last song on Back in Black, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, is one of the in-your-face declarations I so admire in rock music. AC/DC's suggestion that aesthetics are a relative thing, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, reaches right back to the refusal to be held down. By way of affirmation of the title song, I haven't worn anything but black since 1996.
Apart from the occasional patch of purple, neither have I, though that's got more to do with Johnny Cash and Joy Division than AC/DC. The Australian poet John Kinsella eulogising about his favourite rock and roll band. Don't forget you can listen again to today's programme online on our website, bbcworldservice.com/thestrand, where you can also download our free podcast featuring the best of the week's global arts and entertainment. Coming up over the next few days on the programme, South American cinema, Korean theatre, a Turkish man threatened with jail for playing ethnic folk music, and Bob Dylan's son Jacob in our studio. From me, Mark Coase, and producer Nicola Holloway, thanks for listening.
BBC. We've had international outcry.
We've had scientists insist it causes cancer.
We've had countries and continents ban it, but we still have it being used across much of the world. A global investigation across four continents reveals the truth about the use of asbestos. Dangers in the Dust from the BBC. Find comprehensive coverage on our website at bbcworldservice.com/asbestos.
Most famous
for falling down.
Spanning the World tells the story of London Bridge. Friday at 9 GMT.
This is the BBC in Accra, Bangalore, and
Los Angeles.
BBC, BBC.
You're with the BBC. Coming up on Outlook after the latest BBC News, a former CNN addict talks about the epidemic which is sending thousands of young Russians to an early grave. Also, the American neuroscientist who makes a shocking discovery about himself.
I had the brain pattern and the genetic and my mother and my wife brought me aside and said, well, they can sort of see that, a hint of that, in the fact that I don't emotionally engage like the average person.
And we catch up with a young Jordanian woman who first spoke to the BBC 15 years ago.
I was impatient as a teenager, although looking back, I was a free bird, you know, I was spending time the way I wanted. Definitely every time of your life has its own beauty.